Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. My name is Lynn, and I'm your host for the show. I hope that you'll be joining us a lot this year in 2011 because I have some really great things planned. Coming up on the 26th of January, I'm going to be having Betsy Otter Thompson talking with us about her book, Walking Through Illusion. I'm currently reading her book, which I find fascinating. Betsy was, I think, sent to me by one of my listeners, which is how I love to get guests for the show. So I do invite all of you out there to please, if you have someone that you think might be interesting and you just want to hear some information about them on the show, or if you have a topic, I'm open for ideas, or if you have something you want to present. I really love to get places from, or ideas and show ideas from places that I'm not familiar with, because it expands my horizons and it helps teach me new things as well. So please do feel free to send me some information at any time at talkingtoangels@AOL.com. You can contact me via the website. There's a link to email me. The website's www.thehonoringhour.com. So, again, that invitation is out there. I want to make 2011 a great year for the Honoring Hour, and I really want to offer some tools for change for everyone that's out there listening. If you did not have an opportunity to listen to our last show, I usually don't go backwards, but I have to say our last show was on responsible consumerism, and it is amazing the amount of archive downloads that it's getting. It is rapidly becoming the number one most downloaded show, and I think it's because people are ready for a change. So please do, if you haven't listened to that, go ahead and listen to that, as well as a lot of the other shows that I have in the archives. I'm really happy today to welcome back Jose Ruiz. He is the co-author of The Fifth Agreement. He wrote the book, you might remember, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Jose is Miguel's son, and he was with us a couple of months ago, and he did a fantastic job of talking with us about The Fifth Agreement. I'd like to welcome him back to the show today. How are you doing, Jose?
Oh, very good, and very happy to be back with your show.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we talked about a lot of things. There's so much in the book. And, you know, in listening to what we talked about last time, I found it really challenging to go back again and just narrow down one thing. I think I could spend hours and hours with you talking about this book and the wisdom that you share in it. But before we get into, because I do have a couple of things I wanted to just, like, get into, would you mind just describing again what the five agreements are, and just introduce that for people that may not have listened to the show last time or may not be familiar with the book, so we can have everybody on board before we discuss anything further.
Yes, the agreements of the Toltec is the five agreements, which the number one is to be impeccable with our word. It's very important because when we're impeccable with the word, we get responsible for what we say, for what we react, and this is one of the things that they teach you when you do mirror work. When you do mirror work, you actually see the positivity and negativity coming out of the human. So being impeccable with the word, you can control positivity. And the second agreement is don't take things personal, which is one of the more challenging agreements because we're programmed to take everything personal. We're programmed to react a certain way. And with this awareness, we can totally see the power of forgiveness, because not taking it personal is because we can totally see that someone was hurt and that person is hurting someone else, and the person hurting someone else until it gets to us. And when it gets to us, we can do the real honoring to not take it personal. And this is one of the most important things in life to do, because this is true forgiveness. And the third agreement is to not make assumptions. It's one of my ones that I learned a lot in my life, because I noticed that making assumptions is creating science fiction stories that are not real in one's head. So with this, you can be aware of what we create with the energy of jealousy, of envy, hatred, how those little energies can totally create a whole story that is totally fictional in our head, and then we react to it and make it true. Being aware of this, we can totally change ourselves in our everyday life, but one of the most important things to change in our everyday life is the four agreement. And it's one of my favorites, as well as my father's, is to always do our best, because when we do our best, this is when we do not judge ourselves any longer, because we did our best, we gave with our heart. And when we give with our heart, is what we're really taking action to give to this world, to our family members, to our friends, to our loved ones in our workplace. This is one of the most important things to do, which leads me to the fifth agreement, which is to be skeptical but learn to listen. And I'm saying to be skeptical in a social position, I'm more intelligent or better than anybody else. No, I'm saying to be skeptical of your own life. Be skeptical of how you use the word to hurt yourself with. Because if you say you're not perfect, if you're not beautiful enough, I'm not meant for love and stuff like that, be skeptical and not believe. Don't believe yourself saying that. And with that, you can totally have power of what you're here to do in life. And what you're here to do in life is to take care of your life.
That's a great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we are here to take care of our lives because, you know, if we're the ones living it. It's just amazing to me as I've used these tools how my life has really changed. And I have to say that, you know, the way that y'all have phrased the fifth agreement, I mean the steps here, I find myself going in circles sometimes. Like I'll be moving through and being skeptical and trying to listen, and then I have to remember to go back to one of the prior agreements so that I'm not judging and that I'm, you know, honoring myself and that I'm being impeccable with my word. So it's I love the way that they just build on each other and they keep me in this nice flow of going through, and they've really helped me tremendously. And the growth that I've done just, you know, having read these books and utilizing the principles that you have here, my growth has been tremendous. So thank you for sharing this wisdom.
Thank you. It is very beautiful when you find out something inside of you that can touch integrity, because every time you touch integrity, everything which is not of integrity, you will know right away. And this is like a beautiful awareness to have in life.
Right, it is. And that really, that kind of opens the door for, you know, what I wanted to start off talking with today about this. I was going back through the book, and I was looking through Chapter 8, which is The Power of Doubt, and where you talk about the fifth agreement. And I really was focusing on, but learn to listen. And I just wanted to know if you could talk with us about listening. And I think that there's a difference, in my opinion, there's a difference between hearing and listening, you know, like hearing somebody just talk or actually listening to what they're saying. And I just wondered if you had any comments about that and, you know, what, like when you're working with people, because I know that you guys do some workshops and you're teaching some classes and you've got some online stuff that goes on. I'm wondering, you know, how you address that or if that's something that comes up. Is just listening is a learned skill. How do you guys address that?
Yes, because one of the points of a listening is to be aware, to not speak over what you're listening to. And basically, when we listen, we're not really listening. We just go back to the third agreement. We start making assumptions. And when we're not listening and making assumptions, it's because we're already telling the story. We're not listening to the other people. So you can see in many places they speak in Spanish and English to each other, or German, whatever. But when they talk to each other, they're not really listening in their own language. They only listen what they want to listen to. So one of the things that my grandmother taught me is to learn to listen with open heart. And, of course, I was seeing my uncles and my father playing chess. And when I was seeing them playing chess, she said to me, "Look at son, to listen is actually to see also as well. See them playing chess. Everyone playing chess, they're really knowing five or six moves before they make a move. They're seeing all the possibilities because they're learning to see the game. So when you see the game, it's like seeing life. And then you see life and then you see everybody else living their dream. You can see them in their automatics. But something beautiful that you find is that you listen to your own automatic. Now, this is one of the magical points of view. Not to listen to anybody else, but to listen to you. To listen what you are creating with what you are agreeing, because this is one of the most important things of the agreement, because if we don't listen, we have nothing to agree with. But when we listen, we are agreeing to something. So when we listen to ourselves, we begin to agree with ourselves for any decision we make. Now, with this awareness, we can totally disintegrate things in our path, or we can totally support things in our path. But the awareness is to learn to see, so you can see everything in life. And this is when some people, you know, they go see an ugly object, you know, and they say, it's so ugly. But someone who learns to see can see that ugly object and make it beautiful. He sees beauty because with this point of view, wherever there's problem, we see potential to help. When we see problems inside ourselves, we totally listen because we are totally to help. And this is one of the beautiful things that in the Toltec tradition, we have conversation with Creator. Conversation with Creator is not that you go to the top of the mountain and speak to God or to the Creator, no. When you speak to the Creator, it's when you listen to your emotional body and you take action. When you listen to your mind, then you have a conversation with Creator, and this is one of the whole points of the art of listening. The art of listening from the point of creation and see what is created.
So in order to do that, well, I mean, I guess there's a lot of ways that you could go do that. As I start to say that, that didn't really feel accurate. But when you've laid out these four previous agreements, they build on the ability to listen to your emotional body and to read it within the physical body. Is that maybe an accurate way of phrasing that?
Yes, because you begin to see your action reactions. Like most of the things when we react, it's because we have something that is, you know, really bothering us, or we have an opinion over something, or we have investment time that we really don't want to change. But when we begin to put our attention to change, then we can see any words of wisdom. And when we apply it, and when we hear it, that when we apply it, we're totally doing it 100%. We're no longer doing it like 50%. Oh, I do it, yes, I do it, no, it's so difficult, I can't do it, no. When you are set to do something for your children or the little kids, you know, your mother, your parents, and you get yourself out of the way to give it to them, it's exactly the same thing. We get out of the way to give it to us, and it's one of the most important things to see the action-reaction inside of us, because it's in the action-reaction where we convince ourselves, because we're so intelligent, that we'll create any excuse and justify with our own intelligence to not take action. And this is how lies are being spread around the world, because no one really takes responsibility for the creation. But when you take responsibility for your creation, this is when the moment of change happens, because you have risen in the point of creation, and now you're ready to become, like they say in the Toltec tradition, a Nahual, or in the Indian tradition, a Shaman, or Guru Swami. It's a person of power because it respects itself. So when a human respects itself, that is the purest power that exists in the world.
That's awesome. I like that. When a human respects himself, that is the truest power in the world?
Yes, it's the most powerful power, because with that, you can totally see what we're here for in life. We're here to create. We're here to give a message. And this is what we're describing in the fifth agreement. What kind of messenger are we? What kind of messenger are we giving to the people we love? And having this awareness gives us the power to just bring positivity wherever we go. No matter if there's a big negativity, like a big seed of negativity, we will enter, and just our presence will bring the positivity.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and it's like, this is so simple. And we talked about this in the last show, too, just how simple the principles really are. And yet they're not received. There's people are expecting it to be more complicated. So do you have, when you're working with people and you're finding that they are being impatient, maybe, with you know, moving forward, and they're maybe confusing discernment with judgment, because I think that does happen a lot of times when we haven't gotten comfortable with ourselves and when we haven't, you know, aligned more with the first four steps. What do you, you know, how do you help people? Because obviously y'all do help people, you know, with the classes that you're doing. What do you say to people that are that just want to kind of jump ahead and have it all happen? How do you help them to see patience?
Well, patience is to see one's reality in what it's doing it for. Because if it wants in a hurry, it's like they want it, but they don't want to actually work for it. They just want it in a silver platter. But when you're about to change, you know, there's nothing to learn. It's to unlearn. And, you know, when I see apprentices, you know, I see them like little children. like they're afraid to learn to walk because they fall. They are afraid to ride a bike because they will fall. And we have to be there, give them the support that they can do it. They can really believe, because what's stopping them from riding the bike or learning to walk is their own fear. So it happens again when we're grown up. We want to change and we have all these excuses. It's so hard, we cannot do it. It's because we're creating these excuses not to take action. But when we finally find that trust inside of us, you know, it's when we don't have to learn every single word in a library, in a workshop. No, the one we do is to really be aware of what we're doing and what we are agreeing with, because this is the power of agreements. We can agree with anything. We can agree with any thought. And the moment we agree with it, that is our reality. That's our reality. So one important thing to be aware is, what kind of reality are you supporting? What kind of reality are you agreeing with? This is the first step, because, you know, everyone would say it's difficult, but when practice makes a master out of any situation, if someone starts to train doing weights, well, that muscle in their arm will grow so big. And it's also the same thing when we practice awareness. When we practice awareness, we will be aware that the difficult part was to make an excuse to not take action, because when we take action, the day passes so quickly that we're done at the end of the day.
Mm.
And there's no hurry, because there's no hurry, because we will stop learning until the day we die. So to learn, try to learn everything at once, you know, it's like trying to live your life in matter of minutes fast. You wanted to live it fast, but it's not like that. Awareness comes from the experiences of life. So whatever life gives to us, then is when we wake up. Because sometimes we think that we defeated this big dragon, and then we come home and be beaten by a little mouse.
Yeah.
It's all about having the awareness of respect to yourself.
Right, right. Now, we had talked before that even though you were born into this family, you know, you did your own path, and then you came back to this wisdom. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, even though you were learning this as you were younger, you still had your own exploration, and you still had to, you know, do your own thing. You lived your own life, and then you came back to this wisdom. Can you talk to the people that are out there listening a little bit about that? Just share your story again.
Well, I was born into this wisdom with my grandmother and father, and also some friends who studied with Indian masters from India. And I learned, you know, I was like a little puppy with these guys, you know, with these powerful people. I was just like a little puppy hanging around them. But something happens, you know, that it's life. Life comes knocking at the door. And when I was growing up, I grew up in Tijuana, Mexico. And my neighborhood, when you're just living in the neighborhood, you become part of the tribe, you know, part of the kids, the gangs and stuff like that. So little by little, I started getting into the pure pressure that they were giving to me. And I started living by pure pressure. I had to do things and to fit in, to, you know, to be cool. And then all of a sudden, I lost myself. I lost myself in a hell of gangs, drugs, and all that. And this is what many kids, they're put into. They don't have a choice. There's like 10-year-old kids, 11-year-old kids into this world. So I was seeing all of that, and I'm so grateful for my family's awareness, because if it wasn't for my family's awareness that they teach me, I would probably, you know, be dead or in prison or someplace like that. But when a friend of mine, one of my best friends, had a car accident, he died. And that weekend, I was supposed to go with them, but I went with my father. But when I came back to Tijuana, I received the news that he had died. So that moment of my life really changed my life to really speak for help, like ask for help. So I went with my father and I said, "Father, this happened in my life, these things I'm doing, and I really need help." And when I said that to him, he just gave me a big smile, and he said, "Thank you. You have returned back home." And in that moment, when I heard him say that, it's like when I woke up in a conflict between love and hate, between truth and lies, because I know that I was addicted to suffering into a degree that I was blind to know. But yet again, life was giving the experience, so it was one step at a time, until I remember one day my father sent me to India. He removed me from the group that I was living in, and from there I began to learn faith. So also in there, I saw a different kind of suffering because also kids are born into the streets also, and over there you can see this these slaveries and all this negativity that happens. And this is when I realized, you know, there's negativity all over the world, and negative people are trying to convince people to be negative as well. And this is what happened to me growing up. I was growing up with peer pressure, became negative, started doing negative things until that didn't taste any that wasn't good for me anymore. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to change my dream. I wanted to, you know, to do something different because what I was doing didn't feel good anymore. So that was a big opening. One of my big teachings was in my neighborhood, was in the kind of life that I live and where many people live. And I was grateful to get out for the help of my father and family and friends. But when this happened, I totally found awareness inside life. I found that awareness is the real enlightenment. Enlightenment is not how they paint it in the pictures, that you do all this mantra, you study all this bush, and the rainbow comes out, and the little birds come in your shoulder, you put water in your hands, and the Bambi comes to drink from it. No. The real enlightenment is when you have awareness and realization that you have a problem. Now, when you take action to resolve that problem, that's enlightenment right there. And this is why I say, you know, we never know what life is going to throw at us. This is why we will stop learning until the day we die. And this is one thing that I made in those years. I made an agreement with myself that I have only one responsibility now in my life, and that's to take care of Jose, because I know what makes Jose happy, and I know what makes Jose suffer. And how do I know this? It's because I am Jose. I live in my body. I live in my mind. So that's my responsibility. That's where I'm going to change the world, and this is how my journey began. One step at a time, break one habit at a time, but when you're really pushing yourself, you can really see the habits are imprisoning you. Now it's a beautiful thing, because everything you experience in life, all the negativity, all the positivity was supposed to happen because it happened. Now you can bring positivity to every point of view of your life. And when you can do that, it's because you're looking at yourself from an impersonal point of view. And this is where I'm going at. To look at yourself from an impersonal point of view, to get out of the way and to just deliver the goodness and the gratitude and the goodness for your human. Because when you do that, your life will completely change, because you can no longer live a certain way. And this is what happened to me. I could no longer live a certain way. And I was grateful every day of my life. I was grateful to what? I was grateful to Jose, to myself, for taking me out of that dream. Because when we want to, we can do it. And there's no excuses. There are challenges, but there's no excuses. And this is what can really transform us into blossoming for what we truly are.
Right. Yeah, I love that. There are challenges, but no excuses. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. I find that for myself as I'm making changes. I'll try to make excuses, and then I realize that that's exactly what I'm doing, is making an excuse. And I have to revisit that. So I want to ask you, Jose, are you do you have children of your own yet?
No, I don't have that blessing yet.
I wanted to just clarify. I didn't think you did, but so I'm getting ready to ask you a question that is definitely one that you're only going to really truly be able to answer from your own perspective. But that is, when you were going through all of your drama and everything that you were doing when you were lost, how did you? I mean, maybe you've talked to your father about, you know, what he went through, but how did your family handle that? I mean, they obviously supported you when you returned and you wanted to make the change, but going through that in a family where, you know, y'all have this wisdom, did they just kind of step back? You know, what were they doing while you were in all of your turmoil?
Well, this is one of the transformations that happened for me that helped me transform. They were in pain. They were in pain seeing their little one, you know, lost, and seeing them in pain, you know, really woke me up, because I was the one hurting myself, and I was hurting them by hurting myself. So that's a big eye opener. But they were always supportive, and, you know, and they were always disciplined, and this is what really helped me. I'm grateful for that. But to see the pain in their faces caused by me, that was enough to, you know, to change the dream.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've been through that same thing with my family, as they've stood beside me when I was doing my thing. So I was just wondering, and you know, I know that you can't answer for your father, but it would be definitely interesting to see, you know, like how you stand back and you just unconditionally support someone and just continue to try to show them the light and hope that they find their way back. So I'm sure he did a lot of praying for that.
Oh, yes.
So I want to ask you about people. You know, you were talking earlier about mirror work and, you know, how you really, you know, when you're learning to be impeccable with your word, you're really looking at, you know, at yourself. How do you find, you know, do you find that people are really challenged doing that mirror work?
It's basically their program in their own habits, and many times we don't want to see our own habits. It's easier to point out that someone else is living in an abusive relationship when one is living in an abusive relationship and they don't want to put the finger on themselves. So when we start seeing that, we can totally see, you know, the negativity that we have inside of us. And when we don't, and when we're ashamed of this negativity, when we're embarrassed, you know, feel guilty over this negativity, then it's when we are hurting ourselves with that. But something happens. Then we feel guilty and shame over other people, and it goes on and on and on. But everything can be so settled in the transformation, because the agreement, once again, is very important when it comes to this. Because when you are totally aware of what stories you're being in your mind creating, this is something to really look at. It's really to really look at what you're creating. Because when that happens, it's the ultimate challenge of the warrior. Because it's the warrior that's going to find peace, not wars. It's a whole different point of view as before, because before we go and tackle the habits, the emotions, but now we kind of know it, and the way to go about it is to make peace. Now, if we make peace with everything in our head, just imagine everywhere you go. You bring peace to you no matter what hectiness or stressfulness is going outside, and this is what the Egyptian described as, to enter heaven, you have to have your heart light as a feather. And this is what we're really working on, to find that positivity, to find the tranquility, and to stop the agreements that was put into us, because we were educated by a program. We were educated by a system. And that system, you know, it's in our schools, it's on our TV, it's in our families, everywhere, until all that is put in our program. Now we wake up from our program, and we really can be aware that we're trapped. But then when we are where we can trap, we put our intent to change it. And when we change it, we unlearn everything. How do we unlearn? By putting our intent and removing our attention from that story, from that thing that happened, because it's not real anymore. What's real is now. And now with this awareness, you can totally see something that humanity has mastered. From Mexico to India to Russia to the United States, to Alaska, to everywhere. And this is the mastery of complaining. When we complain, we bring negativity. So if we have a problem in our head, if we complain about it and then complain to our friends, to our loved ones about that thing, then they're going to complain with us as well. But if we stand quiet, we don't complain, and we just solve the problem, we advance further, and we don't get stuck into mind games. And this is one thing that happens. You know, when a kid does a tantrum, it's because he's feeling it. And we assume we master tantrums, and it's the complaining if we don't get what we want. So that is the ultimate song of the victim. Now with awareness, we can totally see what complaining has led us into. And with this awareness, we can totally stop the habits, because it's just habits. We just have habits. And those habits, they're the ones who need to be broken to really enjoy life, because if those habits are making our life suffering, then we'll never be happy. Then we'll never enjoy life. But if we take action, we can tackle those down, and we can honor our true self. And honoring our true self, then we can be happy no matter if whatever happens in life. And I have to say honestly, I'm not happy all the time, because there are things in life that hurt me. Things in life that, you know, they see me, that I feel pain of. But, you know, with that thing, I have awareness of something. I know how to make myself happy. And every human knows how to make themselves happy. And with this awareness, we can totally see where guilt and shame has brought us into.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, for those of you out there listening, we've got some people that have actually called in. If you want to talk, please press 1. Otherwise, I think that you're just listening. And don't hesitate, because I'm sure that, you know, we'd love to hear what you have to say. We also invite you to chat in on the chat room, and I'll relay your comments and questions to Jose. So please do, if you're interested in talking to us. If you're out there listening later on through the archives, you can check out this information on miguelruiz.com. You can Google the Fifth Agreement. It's easy to come up. But definitely, you know, the books are in the bookstores. They're on Amazon. And there's a lot of classes that the foundation that your foundation has on the website. I know I get the newsletter, and there's new stuff coming up all the time if you want to work with this family and some of this wisdom directly. So just wanted to put that out there for you guys that are listening, either today or in the future. Now, Jose, I was thinking when you were talking earlier, when we were talking about being impeccable with your word, one of the things that came back to me when I was working with that, and always, I can't say that, you know, I mean, it's an ongoing process, because it's not like, you know, daily, you know, I remind myself of these principles. But one of the things that, you know, just kind of coming back to being impeccable with my word and looking at myself, it's really helped me develop an unconditional love for myself. Like, I really had to learn to accept myself with that, for me specifically, with that first agreement. Like, I just, because it kept bringing everything back around to me. And then, you know, I worked with the other principles, but I really had to learn to accept myself through that. Do you find that that is maybe the case with a lot, or is that actually what that first agreement is designed to do, is to open you up to unconditional love? Did you have a different experience of that?
Yes, because it shows you, it reveals to you your automatics. Sometimes we speak without even thinking about it, just automatic. We react and say certain words without thinking about it. It's totally automatic. So when we take over the word, it's like we say in the Tolkien tradition, we take control of our dreams. We take control of our life. We take control to create this art with this body that we have. So, you know, Toltec means artist, and everything that comes from our mouth is a poem. So with this, you can totally see the poems of positivity, the poems of love, any kind of that's going out of your body, because with the inspiration that you see, then you can use the words, because this is what makes us speak out and whatever things inspire us in life to say. So when something in life inspires us to say something and we react to certain things, then sometimes the automatic words come out, the cussing or something comes out. But if we put our attention into our word and see the automatic coming, and then we can totally see the impeccability of the word, we are totally awakened to be the narrator. We hear that we are the narrator in our own head, and we're believing the narrator if we have reactions, emotions. That's why when we are impeccable with our word, we can totally have free will to co-create with this world and to bring the food plate to our head, and that's what the soul is. And when we begin doing this, it's a beautiful thing, because we begin living our own life. We begin living our own dream. We begin expressing how we like to be expressed. And this is a great mastery, the great mastery to be you, to express yourself and to get ourselves out of the way. And how we express with ourselves is through the word now, is the power to listen.
Yeah, and then we come back to that whole listening thing that rounds out. You're talking in the book, when you, in chapter 8 again, I was just going through this, you know, before we did the show, I was looking through it again. And it's talking about doubt and moving behind the symbols and becoming responsible for every message you deliver and receive. And I noticed that, you know, it stood out to me that you're responsible for every message you deliver and you're responsible for every message you receive. Can you address a little bit about the responsibility of receiving? I think a lot of people can understand, it's clear to understand, you know, when we're talking, we're responsible for what we're saying. But what about when we're receiving? Can you talk a little bit about our responsibility and how we receive that?
Yes, it's one of the beautiful things that I learned from my father growing up. because every time I heard him say something and then I went and applied it and I went to speak to him and said, I did what you want. And he goes, I didn't say that. I didn't ask you to do that. You got inspired and you did whatever you did because you did that. And he said to me so clearly, he says, Jose, I am responsible for what I say, that I'm not responsible for what you listen. And when he said that to me, I was imagining, oh, my God, what I listen, that's the real tree of life. And I'm collecting its fruit and putting it into my brain, into my belief system, and I'm feeding out of it. I'm feeding up dreams. I'm feeding up stories. And this is one of the important things to master, to learn, to filter everything we see. If we see positivity, negativity, you know, we have the power to filter it in our own direction. Because now, when we're impeccable with the word and we can totally see how we're receiving the information, this is when the artist has totally wake up to create his art. Because now we have all the tools in our sight. And this is one of the beautiful things when you realize that you have all the tools, that sometimes we get lost because we want to get more tools. We want to get more tools. We want to get more things for our studio, more things for our art studio. If we don't have those things, we cannot create our art. But you know what? We have everything we need. So we can even trick ourselves that what our happiness depends on tomorrow. But that tomorrow never comes because we don't take action today because we have everything today. So when we are aware that we're receiving inspiration, then we can act with gratitude and dance with inspiration and create whatever we want to create.
You know, I find that I kind of chuckled when you were saying, you know, how you would go and do something and that wasn't what they were saying. Because what I find for myself, and again, this is like an ongoing process. When my world starts speeding up, when I start not taking time for myself and allowing myself to listen, I start buying into the perceptions of others a lot more, and I start I have to work harder at discerning versus judging. So for myself, if I'm not taking the time to be patient with myself and to let my own emotions and my own feelings be settled, I do find it more challenging to listen. I'm hearing, but I'm really picking up more of what a mass thought process is versus my own inner truth. Do you ever have that experience? Do you ever get like things are starting to go too fast for you and you get out of your world and start participating in other realities?
Oh, yes. Very especially one is living life. We have the awareness, and then we can start seeing other things happening. And something happens in our point of view that we are having consciousness. We're consciously being aware of something. So this is one of the most beautiful things about meditation, because when that happens is when we go to the desert. And when we go to the desert is when we are dealing with ourselves, when we are like cleaning up everything that, you know, that make us react or make us judge or make us take it personal. We're totally in a sanctuary, not believing in giving energy. And we go to the desert because we don't want to hurt any people that we love, because this is our automatic. But when we become aware of this, we can totally see amitote going on. And amitote is like 1,000 voices in a marketplace talking at the same time. Everyone wants your attention. Now, where are you going to place your attention? Now, this comes with a special meditation of attention. Wherever you place your attention, that is what you're going to perceive. Now with this, it's the ultimate honor to really nurture the body and nurture the mind. When these things are happening, it's so beautiful when we are aware of this because we can change it. Sometimes we're not aware of this and we just go on a rampage. But when we are aware of this, we can totally see the power of peace and what it gets to get there. Because we are removing ourselves, whatever our opinion it is, and making it pure again. And what's pure? To return to the point of creation. Now, from this awareness, we remove ourselves, then we can see clearly, because when we are in the midst of the emotion, we cannot hardly see that because we're kind of blinded. We remove ourselves, then we can totally see. And this is one of the beautiful things that my grandmother taught to me when I was saying earlier, seeing the game of chess. To learn to see and to listen is to see the reaction 6 times ahead before you even do an action. And it's just so beautiful thing, because we can totally see the power of the mind.
Yeah, you know, and chess is such a great game to learn to play for patience. I remember watching my son, when my son was younger and he learned how to play chess, it was kind of like he wanted to play a game of checkers or like a race. He wanted to hurry up and get through it. And, you know, it was so funny watching him. And it was like, you're defeating the purpose of the game there, bud. But he eventually learned and got it. So that was really happy. But, when you were just saying that, I reminded myself, too, you know, you were saying, when I am getting speeded up, like when I'm participating in other things, I am not honoring myself. And I'm also not honoring my routine that helps me stay in a place of being true to myself. So that prompted me to want to know, do you have like a routine that you do, like a daily thing that keeps you in that groove? Because a lot of people do like a little ritual. Do you do that, or is that not necessary for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we humans do rituals all the time. We do ritual all the time, you know, and even like waking up, brushing our teeth, taking a shower, that's a ritual. And one of the things we do the ritual with is how to do it with love, how to do it with what's sort of the intention behind the ritual. So everything we do is we make like that. So when we are totally seeing that, you know, that there's some death in the family or some heartbreak or any relationship, then you can totally go inside yourself to really nurture yourself and not tell yourself what happened, because this is one thing that happens, you know. So one of the things that I do is I like to go alone, and first mantra I do is I look up into the sky and I say, good one, good opportunity to go around, but no. I go to my sacred place, I turn some music on, and I really get myself out of thinking, because it's one of the things, like if we don't remove ourselves from thinking, it's complaining, it's what something that happens, you know, when we do something in work and something bad happens, that we get off work, we go to our best friend, we're having a dinner, and then all the dinner we're complaining. We're complaining about what happened today. We have to complain about what's happening to this person. But what's happening there, the other person's getting contaminated as well. And then that person goes to someplace and gets contaminated as well, because, you know, we let it out. And to get it inside of you and to not put the attention there and to get out of that place is the real ritual that can happen. And this is one of the important things of rosaries, prayers, of mantras, and of doing poetry or singing. This is one of the beautiful things, because it stops you from thinking a thought, like getting out of a thought that you cannot really remove it. Then you can really put your attention there. Now, if you have mastered how to remove your attention from thinking negativity in one snap of the finger, you know, then you are totally jumping and pushing yourself. It's like having a child or it's being bullied in a room. You will take the child, take him out of the room and take him somewhere else. Of course, you will find the delays and residues happening, but from that point on, you're taking action, and this is one of the important things, to take action, whatever it is. And no one can tell you what you're doing, your ritual is not spiritual, because it's not true. Everything we do in life is spiritual, because we're spirit in action. And when we have this awareness, we can totally see the power of how they explain energy in physics. To move an object, you have to move your hand and move that object with force. So the force that moves your hand is moving an object. Now with the awareness, with the force that you speak in your head, be impeccable with your words, and with the force, speak it. Every time you feel negativity, every time you feel conflict, use your word and use your power to move that attention. And this is what I do. This is what I practice. No matter how difficult it feels, how painful it feels, I always will put the attention and remove myself out of the place. And then when we remove ourselves, I can go look back and with more patience. Because this is what happens in life many times. Many times we're stuck in a hole and we're so panicky, we're suffering, we're crying. But then later we get out the hole, like 10 years later, we're laughing about being in that hole. But in that moment, it feels so real. This is what that means, to have our attention and remove it. And this is how we can support our body.
Right.
Because we're just handling nerves.
You know, I found that as I really started you know, listening to you talking about, you know, people complaining, when I found that as I stopped participating in that type of conversation, not only did my friendships really change, like my friends started to readjust. I became closer to other people, and some friendships just got more distant. But I also noticed that there were a lot more quiet spaces. Like I have friends now that I can just sit with, and we don't necessarily need to be talking, but we just enjoy each other's presence, where that wasn't as true for me in other relationships. The whole perpetuating the complaining, the mastery of complaining, just kind of perpetuated constant talk. So now there's a lot more, you know, just being present in relationships for me. I don't know that that's true for everyone, but it was certainly true for me. Have you found that to be for you as well since you've shifted your life?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's very important because we're an open channel. And with other people, we hang the channel as well. And together, we create this channel. And if we are agreeing with negativity, complaining, hypocrisy, envy, hatred, jealousy, and all that in our channel, then we will have that. But the moment that we decide not to participate in that, then our channel completely changes. Now we're attracting people in our life, you know, that are really positive instead of attracting people who are negative, who complain as well. With this awareness, you can totally see that you're putting your power object in the altar, and the power object is your body, is your life, and the altar is everywhere. So you can totally see that you're at peace with yourself, and you're at peace with others. And this is one of the beautiful things about the Toltec tradition, because in the Toltec tradition, to become a master, to be an Nahual, is not to have the wisdom or you know, everything that they describe that a Nahual shaman it is. No, but it is just one who lives in peace, one who lives in tranquility. He doesn't have to learn any wisdom. He just has to act, because this is the moment of action. When we are aware what we are attracting, is because that's what we are. And the moment that we change our channel, our perception, our activities, then everything changes. And of course, we are secondary characters for other people. And they will say, you cannot change her like this. But, you know, don't believe them. Be skeptical. Listen to you. You can change. And when you change, you will see the power. Just like you were saying, you bring more tranquility into your life. You can be in silence with somebody, not to speak, because now you're appreciating the friendship. And the friendship is respect to one's art and to your own art, and that's heaven on earth.
Mm. Yes, that is. That definitely is heaven on earth. You know, when we were, the last time we talked, just at the end, you know, I asked you about, like, some other things, you know, what all else you had going on with you. And I discovered very quickly that you've got a lot of things going on in your life. So I wanted to, when I invited you back on the show and arranged it through the publishing company, I asked if you had a specific topic, and she said, you know, it would be anything around the Fifth Agreement. And I wanted to honor that. And we've got a little over 10 minutes left in the show, and I just wanted to ask again, with a little bit more time left in the show, what are some of the other things you have going on in your life? And, you know, what is there anything of that you wanted to share with people to make sure that we get out? You know, I think that the work that you're doing with your father and the information he has here is fantastic, but I also find it fascinating that you've got a lot of other stuff that you do that, you know, that just brings joy into your life. I think that's interesting. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity to just discuss anything you wanted to in this last little bit of time.
Yes, one thing that's bringing a lot of pleasure in my life is music and rock and roll. And I was sitting one day with my friend Jet Reese, and we said, you know, we should create a band, we should create music and put words into it, and we did. So this is one of my great passions, to hang with my friends, the Circle of Shadows, with Joe Gasperic, Greg, Aaron, Jed, and Ty, and we all get together and just, you know, hang with our hearts. Like you're saying, you hang with people, and that's what you create. So that's one of my biggest passions, to create music, to touch people's hearts. But one of the other things that I'm doing, I went to Peru a few months ago, and I got so inspired, because I would really believe that I was going to celebrate 2012 in Latin America. But when I was there, I recollected something of my father teaching when I was there 16 years ago, and inspired me to go back to India, to really be grateful for everything that happened to me in my life, and 2012 is the end of a calendar era, end of a cycle, so I really want to take this opportunity. So by the end of the year, I'm going to make a whole tour from Tijuana, where I grew up, and to Mexico City, to Teotihuacan, to Chichen Itza, Guatemala, to the jungle of the Mayan, and then I'm going to Peru and to celebrate with other great masters in 11-11-11 to welcome the new cycle of the new calendar with the Inca tradition and the Toltec and the Mayan when I get together. And then after that, my heart's really pulling me to go to India to celebrate Christmas, New Year's, and, of course, to the end of the Mayan calendar to show the gratitude so we can have a complete cycle. So this is one of the things I'm doing, and I'm also creating a new website. And what I have passion more in my life is I learn a lot from children. So I really am working now to create children's books. I'm going to create a couple of pair of children's books because I really want to give this to the child mind, because a child mind is what's going to lead us into the future. They're going to be our leaders. And you can see right now, the time is important right now. The soil ground is open, fertilized to be put the seed into it. And the kids are going to learn everything that we do. And that's what we say, how we act. So my whole intent is to give that message to the kids and to start writing a new book. And it's going to be all inspired by to break down, to tackle the corruption in spirituality. That's one of the things I want to do before my time is to go back to heaven. Before I die, I want to really give that message of tackling down the corruption in spirituality, because there's a lot of people her dreams get buried because of other people's manipulation and greediness, and it's just not beautiful at all. So we can totally help one another by breaking this, by just taking action, because the end of the Mayan calendar for me is the end of superstition. And that's a superstition that I talk about, you know, about the stories, the mythologies, and all those are beautiful to describe human nature. What I'm talking about, the superstition, is to believe that someone outside of us can give us heaven. Someone can help us outside, because the really one that can help us is ourselves when we agree that we want to stop living a certain way. And when we do that, we will take away the power from all those charlatans, from all those manipulators who are abusing people. And, you know, and doing this, you know, we take action. And what an honor to give before we go home.
Awesome. I am so glad to hear that you're reaching out to children, because this information, you know, in the form of a child's book is just going to be so incredibly powerful. I'm so excited that you're doing that. Do you have the name of the website already, or how would we keep up with you on that? How will we know? I mean, obviously it's going to hit mainstream, but how could we, you know, just keep up? You know, do you have a website? Is there a website for your band? I mean, are you doing anything where people can keep up with you that way?
Yes, my website right now I have with my father, MiguelRiz.com, and the band website is circleofchavos.net. And I'm working on the website. I not really want to do it, you know, about I want to create a web page about artists. So in that way of artists, we call it the universe of now. And the universe of now is all about the mastery of friendship. There is no guru, there's no shaman, there's no narwhal. It's just friends helping friends. And this is a community that I want to bring into the future, because this is one of the important things at all, because my whole heart wants to really have children to open their hearts without having a catastrophe happen to them so they can spread the word. No, I really want them to live this way, because this is what the dream has, you know, to have a world leader that will do everything in his power to bring us back to common sense.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's just so heartfelt and so sentimental that you want these children to be able to open to this wisdom without having a painful catalyst. I think that's great. So many of us really open into our new growth through some type of trauma. It'll just be beautiful to know that there's going to be a whole generation and successive generations that will have this information and not have to necessarily experience a trauma to open to it. So again, you know, thank you so much for being proactive in that for our future generations. I think that's very important.
Oh, it's very important, and it can be done. It can be done, you know. There's a lot of kids who don't have place to go, place to stay, and I think that it would be very beautiful if the government starts helping these kids in another way. And one of my dreams that I would have is that if the government start putting my father's work, the four agreements, the mastery of love, into the programs, so they can have at least a choice to do when they're growing up. And that's the intent that we're putting, to have that in governments, not only in America, but in Mexico and Colombia. So we pray for that, and with action, it will happen.
Yeah.
It just takes one person to hear with power over in this dream of the planet, so he can apply it. And the more we speak of it as brothers and sisters, you know, they will listen.
Yes, it will. And this, you know, again, just in the way that these steps have helped me as an adult, and, you know, we all know that as adults it's a little bit more challenging for us to open to new ideas. It takes a little bit more work, whereas children are just so much more open. The steps of this and the way that they've impacted my life, I've read other works and other ways that to hear this type of information. These steps really just gave me a practical guide, and that's what I was praying for when I found the four agreements. I was asking for just practical step-by-step, something that just could just keep me on the path, keep me in remembering. And I had seen these books on the shelves before, but I wasn't ready for them yet. And so when I picked up the four agreements, that was the answer to my prayer there. So I actually work with children, and I use another language of this, but I find that I still have to help the children that I'm working with develop a step-by-step process for themselves. So I am super excited for you to be putting that children's book into, you know, reality, into physical manifestation, because I know without question that I'll be using that and that the steps will be there, because they're already here in an adult form. So again, you know, I know that it can work. I've seen it work with the children I'm working with, and I think that your process and the way that you'll be manifesting it is just going to be so easy for mass numbers of people to take out and to help these children. So thank you for that diligence and that work there.
Yes, thank you, because it's very important. When I went to Colombia, I see something interesting. You know, over there they have these wars happening, and what they're doing, they're kidnapping children and giving them weapons and training them to be a killer. You know, these kids are innocent. That's being programmed, but if they can do that, we can give children the tools of awareness instead of weapons. Give them instruments, give them tools of awareness, because doing that, you know, if they can do it the other way, we can do it in the other side. And from this, they will be someone who will represent us in the future and bring us this message of love to the government.
Right. Right, you're so right. Well, Jose, we're actually starting to run out of time, so I want to thank you so much for being here on the show, being so willing to be here, for sharing your information, and for everything that you're doing. You know, I think that the work is just magnificent, and I am very grateful to you for being willing to take the time out to share on the Honoring Hour.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. The Honoring Honor is always an honor.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Again, you've just been listening to Jose Ruiz. He is the co-author of the book, The Fifth Agreement. You can find information about him and the book and his father on miguelruiz.com. And we hope that you will join us again in the future. On the 26th of January, we are going to be having Betsy Otter Thompson talking with us about Walking Through Illusion. It's a very interesting book that she has written from a different perspective, and I hope that you'll join us then. Until then, I hope that you have a great couple of weeks. Thank you for joining us here on the Honoring Hour. We look forward to having you join us again.